very thankful to the Lord today. Hope you are as well. And I'm so thankful that you decided to come today. You know, sometimes we don't express our love for one another. You know, sometimes people have the wrong idea. This is my family, too. Just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean I'm any different. I need my family. So I encourage you to remember that, because there are those that are missing this morning. There are still some that have been sick for over 2 weeks and so forth. And some are sick in spirit because they're discouraged. And you need to be remembering those people during the week. You don't see them here, there's a reason. They need you, and they need your prayers just like I do. So last week we talked about setting the term of engagement with the enemy, number 14. And we also talked about entering into God's timing. You know, there's a time to confront the enemy. And that time is when God gives you the green light. Not because you think, what an awesome Christian I am. And so this morning we're going to move on to number 16, which is, how are we going to face and defeat our giants? Operate out of covenant relationship. This is a very powerful one. I feel like the Lord's going to minister to you. He already has been, but this idea of covenant, verse 26 and 36, I'm drawing this point from. And if you glance at those verses, you will see in both of them, David calls Goliath this uncircumcised Philistine. And there's some reasons why he does this. Let's explore these together. The name Goliath means migrant or immigrant. And a migrant or an immigrant is living in a country that is not their own. Are you with me this morning so far? So here we have the Philistines, and Goliath represents the enemy in your life. He is living, he has invaded your land. The Philistines at this point are living in land that was designated and allotted to the tribe of Judah. And they have encroached on the Lord's inheritance. Stay with me. This is important because this is what the enemy does. He subtly comes into your life. He uses people. He uses circumstances. And he goes places he has no legal right to go. He does not belong there. And we need to issue him an eviction notice. That's really the principle here of what David is doing in his outlook, his take on what is going on. So the enemy wants to take possession of your life or your land. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the authority that Christ has given each and every believer, we have the power and the authority to send him packing. It's not based on how you feel. It's based on what is true. It's based on what the Word of God says. It's not based on whether you're having a good day or a bad day. It's based on what God says. It's based on God's Word and who He says you are. Period. That's the basis on which we have the authority and the power to evict the enemy, the giant in your life that wants to encroach, take territory, take your inheritance or your possession when it does not belong to him. So, David recognizes this immigrant, this one who's a foreigner, this one who does not belong where he's living. Never mind doing battle. He doesn't even belong there in the first place. That's the first aspect here. And the second one, importantly, is the Philistines were not circumcised. The only ones that were circumcised were the Israelites, the Jewish people. And circumcision represented what? It was a sign of covenant with their God. So, he not only addresses, who is this Philistine, this migrant, but he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He has no right to be here. He is not in covenant. He cannot do anything, no matter how loud, no matter how long, which was, remember, it's 40 days, morning and evening. Goliath is coming to the battle line. It's what we call in the English dictionary a blowhard. A blowhard has to use volume and show to make up for his lack of authority and power. And that's what the enemy does, and that's who the enemy is in your life. So circumcision was the sign of a covenant relationship. And so for these reasons, two of them, David is saying, who does he think he is to be living in our land and to be talking to a covenant people this way? That's really the exchange that's going on here. Because what it says is, if you look at it, it said the giant was taunting God's people morning and evening for 40 days. Now, that's kind of a small word, a fancy word, but this is what it means: to insult, to reproach or challenge in a mocking or insulting manner, to ridicule. And ultimately, what is Goliath doing? He's not only ridiculing them, he's ridiculing their God. And for this reason, David is saying, who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is? That's really what's going on here. Because Goliath is basically saying, you know, you did the same thing when you, or some of you, you know, I had a bully. I had at least one bully in my life. And that's all the enemy is he's a bully. Remember back in your childhood, I dare you. I double dare you. No, I double dare you. That's what's going on here. Goliath is saying, I dare you to put forth a man to fight with me. I will humiliate him. I will make short work of him. And matter of fact, I will take care of every single one of you as well. So David's position, I want to just digress for a moment here. The Lord confirmed this morning. I read a word from Elijah List by Dr. Teresa Phillips called Arise of the Defiant Ones for the Kingdom. And basically, what she was putting forth was, during this time, the enemy is taunting the heavenly realm. Taunting, just like Goliath, God's people. And she is proposing that it is time to rise up and face him and drive him out of the land. Specifically, the good old U.S. of A. Read it when I woke up. So David's position, and yours and mine should be as well, my God is well able to equip and empower me to meet any enemy that comes my way and to defeat him. Because my enemy is God's enemy. Amen? Psalms 60, verse 12, and elsewhere in the Psalms. Through God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our enemies or our adversaries. And ultimately you have one enemy, but it manifests in different ways. And so you have enemies, plural, or adversaries, plural. But the scripture assures us that when we rise up to drive that enemy out of the land, to speak the word of the Lord that is nigh unto your mouth and even in your heart, the scripture says, when we rise up to do that, he's going to tuck his tail between his legs and head for parts unknown. Well, we know where he's going. Where he belongs. So, when you operate from a position of covenant with Jesus, the enemy cannot touch you. So when you realize you're getting rattled, you ought to take a look at what it is you're doing. If you feel like you're losing ground or you're unable to push back, you know, it's a military sense in which this is being conveyed. You have the power to defeat, but you have to start pushing back. Defeat is certain, but it starts with that pushback, that pushing against in the spirit realm. And that's why I was saying, just because you don't feel anything this morning, you're looking for a sign or a manifestation, the kingdom of God was advancing this morning. That's what was going on in your life, in my life. It was being pushed back. The darkness, the enemy, the giants that we face were being pushed back. because God was going forth on your behalf. So when we operate out of a position of covenant in relationship, in intimacy with the Lord, in a New Testament sense, that blood of Jesus is an impenetrable shield, 24/7. It surrounds us. And as long as you keep your part of the covenant, loving him, living for him, obeying him, keeping a clean, sinless slate, as they say, keeping a short list, confessing your sin, being tender in your heart and receiving correction from the Holy Spirit, you can't be touched. The enemy cannot harm you in any way. He can't invade your territory. In fact, the opposite begins to take place. This is what this scripture says. Now, you know, John was one who experienced a very deep understanding of the love of Jesus and ultimately of the love of the Father. So when you read the Gospel of John or when you read the letters of John, you have to look at it from that standpoint. So here's what 1 John 5:18 says. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. You want chapter and verse to what I'm preaching? There it is. 1 John 5:18. Jesus, the Holy Spirit and the Father, more than the three musketeers. They're a threesome that's an unbeatable combination. They say, take your hand off of my anointed. You are not allowed to touch him, touch her. 1 John 5:18. First John 1:9, our part of the covenant. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To restore us, that's probably the incorrect way of saying it, because we're never out of relationship or covenant from the way God looks at us as sons and as daughters. But sometimes this sin puts up a wall, let's just put it that way. And then confession and the release of the power of the blood tears that wall down and restores you into fellowship when you feel like, I don't feel him, I don't feel his presence, and so forth. That's what this 1 John 1:9 is saying. So we're under a covenant of grace, and grace enables, grace empowers, grace forgives. Grace leads the way to victory, fulfillment, and destiny. So David's courage or strength and faith, his ability, his prosperity and success came from covenant relationship. And he didn't have a perfect life. If you look at the scripture, he was just like you and I. He made mistakes. But God had made a covenant with him, and he has made a covenant with you. And no matter what we do, he won't break covenant with us. 2 Corinthians 3:5-6. Not that we are adequate in ourselves or to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from Him, from God. Who has made us adequate. There it is. He's enabled you not only to face your giant or your enemy, but He's also empowered you to defeat him. That's the God we serve. He has made us adequate as servants of what? A new covenant. There it is again. That word, covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter or the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So, sometimes we stray and we start applying the law to ourselves. It's called self-criticism. It's called beating ourselves up. The law doesn't give life. The law will not change your situation. The law will not give you victory. The Spirit that gives life will lead you into victory. 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said, you know, in some ways, Paul was a pretty tough character. But in other ways, he was not. When he rose up in faith, watch out. But reports are that he was actually not that formidable a guy in person. He wasn't that much of an impressive physical specimen. But he says here, and he understood from Jesus, He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected or made complete or released by his grace in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, plural, that the power of Christ, his covenant, his grace, may dwell in me, may live in me, may work in me and through me as well. So we need to focus on covenant relationship. And you, if you do this, and not only you, but others will witness the power to prevail, the power of faith in your life, the power of the cross, and the power of victory. And some of you didn't grow up, and I was right on the edge of it. Jackie Gleason. One of the things he was famous for was how sweet it is. And victory in Jesus is a very sweet victory. Because you enter into it. You don't claim you did it by your strength, by your power. You understand that it is His grace, His faithfulness, His power at work in you. He who began a good work, not on the list. He who began a good work in you will enable you to complete it. Is that what the scripture says? No. He who began a good work in you will perform it. He will do what you need done. He will rescue you, as we sang this morning. Love will rescue you. But you have to understand what covenant is all about. And you also have to understand his side of the covenant. You have to have a more accurate understanding of who your father is. Your father isn't a father with a big stick waiting for you to make a mistake. Whew! And you get whooped. Now your father, just like Jesus, the prodigal son, his arms are always wide open. He doesn't like it, you know, when you stray. But he's ready and willing to welcome you back because of covenant. So, if you're going to face and defeat your giants, you've got to have a more accurate understanding of what covenant is and who your father is. And then ultimately, who he says you are. Because that will enable you to do and to be, most importantly, to be who you are. Not somebody else's projection, not somebody else's expectations that are put on us. And we've all faced that. And you can't measure up to those things. You never could and you never will. But when you understand who you are in Christ, all those things just fall off. All those things that want to hinder you and be like a ball and chain dragging behind you, they fall away. And you can experience a love relationship like no other with Jesus Christ. Done. Next week, Lord willing, if he lets me please preach, look to the Lord.